environment you live in is devoid of knowledge. Though knowledge abounds. The reason why you are having some tough time in business is because people you are doing business with, those who are also working with you or working for you, they don't know nothing. For instance, they want to sew clothes. They say, Eloni, what do you want to do now? My brother wanted to do his house in the UK. So they asked him, he asked the person that would do the house. He said, materials, about £14,000. Cost of service, £16,000. Did you hear what I just said? You know what I did first? Ah! The product law, the combination is not, that's where we live. So we don't, that's why it's tough for you. They don't esteem your service that you are rendering. Doctor, you know, drugs here, 5,000, and then pay 8,000. Ah! So this environment, we don't pay for services. It's difficult to do that. I hope I'm making some sense. Then sometimes too, some things are fixed in prices. Like my sister has this in iron rods. The prices are fixed. So you can't just arbitrarily increase price. Even if you have to do something, it can be a little bit difficult. Like some, even t-shirts or another t-shirt, the way they sell it. So around this area, it's quite tough. But like Bratito said, you have to use more than just, that's why it's tough. Some of you, business is tough. And that's really tough because when you are living in the land of the blind, are you hearing me? It can be difficult to tell them what to do when you can see yourself. So you have to adapt. Are you hearing me? A lot of us will prefer salary job. Some of us might do some salary job to not let us be wiped out. And that's all right. Is that all right? So I will ask you to do more thinking. This is what this environment requires. You have to do more thinking. You just can't carry on. You just can't carry on. I've known Christians who have shut down their business over the years. I've been teaching business stuff for donkey years. You know, as far way back as early 90s, I got guys that I taught that are doing different things. Then after I became a pastor, I settled down with Bratito to give me some of the things. Like, we come to my office, we talk over the years. Some other few ones. And I have a big book like this, written years ago, called Every Businessman's Companion. You know. So over the years, I've been doing that. In fact, I didn't want to do this meeting until I was divinely instructed, go do this meeting. You know. So I'm just taking my time to just encourage, and Bishop Ben is here. I don't know what, that's what I'm talking about. So I know that, I know these days are coming when things are like this. But at this kind of environment, we are living what we call a knowledge economy. That's whatever you do, somebody else can do it. Are you hearing me? You have a school, somebody else has school. You have a school, somebody else has school. You run fabrics, somebody else runs fabrics. So you just can't do well by just that thing you are doing. Because, you know, somebody said that, you know, I remember our first meeting we had over there, there was Katakata that day, when somebody said that, just find the need and supply and meet it. And I said, look, that's an orthodox way of looking at things, forget it. You just say, just meet it, you just have a need. You can see a need, you meet it. You know, how many bread people are in town now? Huh? How many bread? That time it just dealt with OPE in Lagos. Remember that time? Your friend, you know, we were talking about it upstairs that day. So this kind of economy now, I want to plead with you, please. This is the first thing that is important. You have to dwell more in your thinking, in your knowing. Are you hearing me? And that's why I'm glad we have Christianity. Christianity is light. It's not heat. You know, heat is when something's hot. But Christianity is more of light. I'm the light of the world. Are you hearing me? Let me show you what I mean by that in business. Light is important. Look at Peter. Peter was fishing all night. He couldn't catch any fish. Am I right? And then he went to church. Jesus brought church to his house or to his business place. And then he just started teaching. After a while, he just said, throw your net. Am I right? Same water, same net, same boat. Huh? Am I right? So that knowledge is what makes the difference. And if you see it, it's spattered over the Bible. Knowledge made a difference in Joseph's life. in Egypt. Am I right? In fact, Daniel said in the last days, knowledge will increase and men will run to and fro. Are you hearing me? So you have to, if you are looking at me, that Pastor Joe, you know, you can surrender now. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You can't surrender. You have to. You see that from inside. You think my job is not tough too? What I'm doing to you, last Thursday, I had to be telling pastors too. It's just easy to surrender. But by knowledge shall the just be delivered. Chapter 11, Proverbs. Let's take a look at it. Verse 9. Chapter 11, verse 9. Hope I'm correct. Proverbs. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge. For instance, now, Dr. Nile needs more knowledge than medical science to run the business. My sister here, she needs more than just fabric knowledge to run the business. When you open a shop and start selling, are you hearing me? The knowledge of the business is so important. But then, not only the general knowledge of the business, but your own particular knowledge in that area. There are other fishermen in that sea that day, but there was a particular knowledge that came to Peter that he used. Am I right? Huh? And your problem is your problem, not my own. You are the one who knows what you need for money to buy what you need to buy. Your school fees for your children, not my own kind of school fees. And if you're single here, your issues are. So it's important for us to actually dwell in knowledge. Are you hearing me? Giving up, surrender, defeat, failure, they are all packages of knowledge. Why do we watch football? It's not because we want to see muscles on the field. We want to see knowledge displayed. Why do we pay so much for Messi and Ronaldo? It's not because they have legs. Everybody else has legs. It's because they demonstrate in the midst of all this. As number 10, they excel. And it's through knowledge. You see, many of us, power is important. Power is important. Like I said, power generation is important. But how can you keep on when power becomes so exorbitant? How can you keep on? And that's where I'm here today. You have to have some residual knowledge as a child of God in this area. Are you hearing me? Can I ask you a question? What's your entitlement to do well? What's your entitlement to do well? I want to give you what I call triangle of entitlement. Write it down. You can draw in your paper, on your phone, triangle of entitlement. What gives you entitlement to do well? I want you to assimilate this. Give it a thought. Some of us are more shrewd more than the others. Some of us can cut corners. I don't mean in a very bad way. But you must have some basic foundation. And it's strange. Let's look at the first one. You see, your calling as a human being entitles you to do well. Being a human being, no, not being a Christian now, being a human being by the right of creation, Genesis 1:26. Take a look. Okay. Quickly. I want you to see this as a man. Give us on the screen. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, including cars and trucks. They're also creeping on the earth. Now, listen, this verse gives us entitlement as men to run this planet. As a human being, without being a Christian now, as a human being, you have the right to dominate over sea, sky, and sand. You have the right to move things over here. See, that's why all these people that talk about motivational speakers, they want to excite you for that. They want to let you know that as a human being, you are in charge. Let's look at it in Message Bible. You know, let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflect in our religion so they can be responsible. Are you getting that? You see, if you don't have that kind of thing, that as a human being, you are responsible to make these things work. You see, today, I feel sorry for these boys today that they are not getting married. When we got married, those days, we didn't have everything. But we took responsibility to have a home. That taking responsibility that this business, I'm going to do well. Just take that. Now, you're going to make every adjustment to do well. There was a man who used that, who ruled the world. His name is Alexander the Great. Founder of Greece Empire. By 33 years of age, he had conquered the whole world and he was weeping. There was no more world to conquer. But he had one policy. He was never a general staying in the headquarters. It's with the army. He will get wounded like them. They will eat the same food. When they went to go and attack Persia, he went with soldiers to cross the ground and go far, and they lost almost everything. They had only their weapon left. And they had to cross River Danube or something, one river, to go and meet the enemy. And the enemy had elephant. You know what he did? They got to the river, and then they got the boat and crossed over to the other side. And then Alex said, bring all the boats and burnt all the boats, that we are not going back. You hear what I mean? We are not going back. We are not going back. Either we die here or we conquer. Everybody woke up in the world. You see, as long as you're still thinking, hey, come on, Wubosha. But when you think of it, I'm staying here. Like now, the thought has never occurred to me as we move to New York City. I can go there and play and come back. Are you hearing me? I'm not saying that I'm banned here, but what I'm saying that I'm going to, they thought never, I would never say, oh, one day I'll stop, but no, I must get this done. The reason why I'm telling you, look at verse 26, 28 now. Now, this is the reason, this is the mandate you are giving. Give us in Message Bible. Then God blessed them. What did he say to them? Prosper. What is the next? Now, don't think biology. When you say reproduce, don't think biology. Some of you, see, he said we have to production. Am I right? Put that down. Reproduce again and produce again and produce again. Doesn't mean just to reproduce as children. Are you hearing me? You like that one? That's between us. All right. So, produce again. Produce again. Produce again. Coke has been here for over 100 years. They are still adapting. Diet Coke, Cherry Coke. Are you hearing me? So, produce again. Prosper. See, that was the first mandate for us. We must do well. Hallelujah. Is that all right? Is that all right? I know, Pastor. It's difficult. I read a book years ago about a Christian man who finally became rich. I read his story, what he suffered. He sold papers. He sold. Oh, he lost. But you know what? That man just refused to give up. If I have to change everything, I'll change everything, including myself. So, reproduce. Prosper. Take charge. Be responsible. I want you to see, the first part of that angle is that your creational mandate. As a creation, you got a mandate. Is that all right? So, beyond your father's generational curse, that is a fundamental generational blessing for you. Are you hearing me? Did you hear what I just said? We Africans think more of the dark part. Our father, Nabekuta, they did something. No. In our foundation, we were da to prosper. A da to prosper, to reproduce, to take charge, to be responsible. That's our first baseline on that triangle. But can you help me draw the triangle? It's possible. Triangle. Put over there, creation mandate. Number one, you're supposed to prosper. Supposed to. If it doesn't do well, it's not human. That's why every human being, when they do well, they're happy. When they fail, they will say, they failed me. They will say, I failed. You know, pastors make me laugh. They say, we don't believe in numbers. But when they see numbers, they are happy. Hello? Are you hearing me? I don't believe in plenty. But when I see plenty, I'm happy. I can buy more. I can do more. Am I right? Beautiful. So there must be that thing inside of you that I've been mandated to prosper, to reproduce. Now, you know, I am not mandated to become a billionaire or a millionaire. But I am mandated to prosper. That means whatever I'm doing will tell her. You know, one of my friends read this verse, 3 John, in Message Bible, that really blessed me. Look at Message Bible. 3 John, give us Message Bible. They read it on Thursday. It was really eye-opening for me. I never seen that before. 3 John 2, Message Bible. We are the best of friends. And I pray for, look at it, everybody look at it on the screen. And I pray for what? Good fortune. Whoa! Say, Lord, I'm praying for good fortune in everything I'm doing. Good fortune. I want to experience good fortune in everything, including what I'm doing now. Thank you for good fortune in everything. Oh, my. Hallelujah. Look at that verse again. And for your good health. Now, listen. Look at this part. That your everyday affairs. You know, look here. We have come to see that money is a conclusion. Money is a result. Things happen before money comes in. Am I right? If those things do well, if you are bringing goods from Lagos now, and one car just run into it and block it for next of days, that will reduce your profit. Am I right? Those everyday things, that's where it is. It's not just only just land something great or something powerful. One guy in church was telling me recently, he said he has a brother who was working in Lekki, making a lot of business and was doing well. So he called him and said, how are you doing? He said, are you in business? I'm in business now. He said, I work with government. He said, my brother, I will never employ you for any job. He said, I will give you money, but don't ever come to me for work. He said, why? He said, because you are working with business where everything is determined to fail. When they build a house, they won't build it well. When they give a contract, they expect that it won't work well. They just want to take money. So he said, I will help you. I will give you money, but don't work with me. Fasola did so well because when he went for NYC as a young man, in Edo State, they put him in the Ministry of Justice. And when he got down there, there was nothing he was doing. So he told them, please, can you sack me so I can go somewhere else? They let him go, went to go and work in the private farm. The man worked in private farm all his life. So when he became the governor, man, he never knew what he did. We have not seen what Fasola did. They are still under it. Fasola will not let any pressman follow him. He will go to places on Sunday. Look at our governor, Amosu. What he did in 8 years? He run private farm. That's how our country is collapsing. It's not easy, but that's where we do well. Are you hearing me? Your price is shown forth in how you prosper and reproduce. So I want to, that's the mandate before we talk about divine intervention. Have that mandate. Number one, you are designed to prosper. You are created to reproduce, to take charge. Now that simply already brings in fight. Are you hearing me? Go back to that Genesis 1:26. Give us 28, verse 28 in NKJV. 1:28. I want you to see this. Look at this verse. This verse already declares war. So that's why the devil came to the garden. It was there from the beginning. Look at that verse. People don't. Why did God allow? No. It's be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and what? Do you subdue something that is not opposing you? Huh? That's right. So there is already opposition here. The elements, the atmosphere. So please don't expect things to go easy. I say this, and I'm going to say it again. Any number 10 taking ball to the goalpost, and nobody's rushing him. You know what it is? I mean, you're running number 10. You're going toward the goalpost, and everybody's looking at you and laughing. It's an offside. If you don't know football, you know football. But when they start rushing you, that means it's going to be a potential goal. Am I right? So if there's no rushing, if there's no pushing, if there's nothing opposing you, hallelujah. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Have you ever read the book of Kings in the Bible? There are no books of servants in the Bible. There are only books of kings in the Bible. Kings and Chronicles. You find every king goes to war. Every king. David didn't go to war one time in the season of war. He saw Bathsheba and started messing up. Is that all right? So, see yourself. You are going to war. It's war every day. You are going to summon. You are going to subdue. You are going to push things down. You are going to get the money. You are going to get the thing done. That spirit, that mentality is so important. Maybe I will get some of you to read the books on soldiering, on soldier, on war. I just got one now. General Patton. Yes, General Patton. General Patton was, man, a phenomenal. I think he was anointed to fight. General Patton in the U.S. Army was only good for war. Peacetime is useless. He won war on Europe, and he would tell boys to join his army. He said, when he recruited them, they said, what do you want to do? He said, we want to fight and die for our country. Patton said, get up, go and die at home. He said, no. Make the enemies die for their country. That's why I employ you here. You got that? No, I don't want you to die. I got no book course. Forget it. Go home. Go and die home. I want to go make enemies die for their country. That's how we win. Praise God. Hallelujah. Is that all right? So that mandate is there to subdue. The second mandate, why you have to do well. And I want you to take this with you. Some of you don't understand this one. It's so important for you. You see, when God told Israel to enter the promised land, please, I want you to get this. And I'm not raising money. Please listen to this. When God told Israel to go occupy the promised land, three tribes saw the land before they enter the promised land by River Jordan, called Bashan. And it was good for cattle rearing. And there were more of people that Manasseh and Reuben, they had more cattle. So they took that land. Then God told them that when you cross River Jordan, go with your brother. Fight with them till they get their own inheritance and then come back and come and settle down your own. Are you hearing me? Please listen to this. One of the reasons why I'm doing well is doing what I'm doing now. Are you hearing me? I used to think that it's all about me before. I'm going to do well. I'm going to make it. I'm going to do that. Then I came to see that making it is really lonely by you alone. If you ever watch sports, they have arena. And when you score, there's an applause that's going on. It can be tough when you are away team and you're playing a home team. They may be weak, but they can beat you for the applause. So I came to see that there must be an applause somewhere. There must be a heavenly applause. I'll show you 15th Deuteronomy. Let me show you. Let's go down there. There must be somebody out there in the arena that's pushing for me. Genesis 15. Sorry, Deuteronomy 15, sorry. Let me find the verse so that you can open it for us there. Verse 7. If there's among you a poor man of your brethren, within any of the gates in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and really lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Let's jump down to a verse that will just make it. Look at verse 11. Okay, sorry. Verse 10. You shall surely give to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give to him. Because, look at the screen, what does he say? For this thing, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. Now, please look up here. How many of you are Muslim before? How many of you know what called Saka? Saka? Don't give Saka. How many of you know what it calls Saka? What do? You give to the poor, right? You see, that word, Saka, is from also Hebrew word, Zaka. You get the word, Zaka. The Lord, my righteousness. Melchizedek, Zadak. So, Saka, you see Muslims that are top down level, they give to the poor a lot. You know why? Because your giving is your right to do well. He said, look at that verse again. You shall surely give to him because for this thing the Lord your God will bless you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. So, when you begin to get up as a person to see that others thrive, if you have a school now, don't just think about the profit. Think about these children doing well. If you have a hospital, think about the patient really recovering and getting better. To be on the side of the needy is the biggest thing that God will use outside your Christian mandate to help you. Are you hearing me? So look for ways to, like now, for instance, your children, your family, your good, all those things you do on purpose and bless and increase people. That's your righteousness that will speak for you. When Nebuchadnezzar, who was a pagan king, when God gave him a warning, I'm going to destroy you, I'm going to pull you down. You know, Daniel begged him, said, remember the poor. And that will serve as righteousness for you. Now, when I say remember the poor, I don't mean those people around Yanamojwari. He said, your poor brother that are struggling. So, put that mandate there. I know, you know what? I do that almost all the time. That's where I live. Why? Because that's what will add to me for my progress. From the little, smallest kids to the... I want to see that they do well. When they do well, God will take care of you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are we getting that? If you see all these people abroad, they do it a lot. They call it foundation. What do they call it foundation? You don't understand. You know what I call foundation? Because the whole house rests on it. There's a man called John D. Rockefeller. Have you ever heard of Rockefeller? He was making money like water. By 45, he was dying. Oh, sir. He had money. He said, you can put the money lie up down to the floor. While he was dying, he said, Lord, I don't want to die now. Then he had, remember what his Sunday school teacher said, give 10% to God. He said, I'm dying anyway. I just give this money out. So he said, give me 10%. He lived to 96 years old. Go anywhere in Africa, you see. Look for foundation. Some people that go and do PhD, is their foundation they are using. They have hospitals built everywhere. They got place done. He didn't give money to church. He just did that foundation and he built a whole stuff. So I want to plead with you. If you are going to do well, that God is going to back you up because you are responsible. For instance, now, listen. If a pipe is bringing water to your house, if it breaks, you repair it quickly. The one in that God-forsaken toilet that never used for the next 3 years, if the pipe breaks, you just cover it and block it, am I right? But the pipe bringing water into the compound, you call the plumber, mama. Let me see. Why? Because it's bringing. So I want you, and please, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should go and get 55,000. No. Just the small thing you do, somebody is encouraging them, lifting them up, doing that. Because for this very reason, the Lord your God will bless you in all your works. And whatever you venture into, just works out. Are you hearing me? Now please, don't go and take 50% of your fortune now. No, do it gradually. I'd rather let you do gradually than just do basha and then disappear again for the next 5 years. No, just incorporate it to your life. One of the things I do in my life is to manage resources for others out of my own resources. I have that set apart. And I'm not doing it every day. I will have it stored here so that when I need it, I'll get out to do it. I have a particular account dedicated to that. It's not that you guys are just looking around. I'll take my time to pray and I'll stop. If there's any need to come up, I will think about it, look at it. And I'll come up with, I'll give one idea that I do so that you can learn from it. See, I know people that are struggling, they don't have. So they're very basic. They can't even eat. Energy is expensive now. So I told somebody, I said, look here, you're selling gas. I tell people that are poor, go and buy gas from there and don't pay. So I tell the person is even here, Peter, at the back. I said, just when they need, go down there. Some of them are struggling, they are poor, they can't get, you can give them rice. How are you going to cook it? See, that idea came to me because I was praying, looking at how do you help? Not just saying, can I go, no, don't throw money around. No. You look at it. Are you hearing me? So God will give you different avenues to do this. Just be that, somebody around your area, somebody who's a Christian, somebody, you just make it like a mission, a foundation to stand on. Is that all right? God is banned. Remember, God told an unbeliever, Cornelius, your prayer and your almsgiving has come up to heaven as a memorial. Are you hearing me? God, people, church, life, you do whatever you can to keep that. And don't be struggling for that. Put it aside. That's what Paul said to them, that they should put something aside the first day of the week. As God, let's look at chapter 16, 1 Corinthians, verse 1 in King James Bible. Quickly, let's go to the third last mandate that will help you to have divine intervention in your life. Praise God. Praise God. Saying the same thing. Okay. Now, concerning Colossians, for the saints that I've given order to the church of Galatia, even so do you. Look at next verse. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. You should save. As God has prospered him, there have been no gatherings when I come. So there must be a way of proportional giving to the poor. That's according as you are prospered. Do you know that now I'm more concerned about that available to them? So when I get little money, my first concern is, hey man, we don't have enough money to give to people. Hallelujah. And please, don't just be jumping with the money and giving everything out. Have it so that you can think about it, pray about it, and leave it by the side. And God will tell you sometimes, do this. Let me expose somebody over here. Gratitude is like that. God just tell him, do this. I do some crazy things. Now, when somebody say, how could he be thriving some of these things? That's the. In my time, he was telling me, Mr. Reverend, you're not talking about this. Because people think they want to collect money. But that's why I do well as a pastor. As a church, there was a church that was struggling, and we loaned them the money, told them to pay whenever they can pay. They come and say, Pastor, I said, don't worry. Don't do anything you want to do. Just we need money too. We just say, take the money because it's a poor brother. Just go. Your church is struggling. Go. Just let them. They will struggle. I said, when they come on. I said, don't worry. When you have the money, pay. He came to me one time and said, Pastor, we want to do this, but we have payment. I said, leave it alone. Do what you want to do first. You think God won't bless us? Was it 2 weeks ago? Something I saw that blew my mind. If Jesus was walking now, how will he minister to him? I saw the word to minister to Jesus. How many of you like to minister to me? Fine. Why don't you minister to Jesus? Come and see. 25th Matthew. Jesus himself said this. You can go to sleep when you do this. You can go to sleep. God, even when you mess up, God will protect you. You get what I'm saying? When you mess up, God will say, I can't afford to lose you. Because many people you are helping. Are you hearing me? For instance, Dr. Irile is a consultant GP in the hospital. The hospital will do everything to see that guy doesn't go somewhere. What are things we open to? 25. Let's look at it. I know you have your own struggle. I know you have your own challenges. But take on the challenges of those who are lower than you. 25th, are we there? Let's look at this verse. Oh, my. Let me find the verse and read it to you. Beautiful. Take a look at this. Where's the verse now? I want to. they use the word minister to you. If you have seen it, where Jesus was talking to the, just a minute, let me find the verse. See, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Did we see you a stranger? Did we see you sick in prison? Come, can we see? Did, are you there? Okay, some of you are not looking, just waiting for the screen. Okay. Are you correct? Is that it? Okay. It's 34. No, it's not 34. They use the word minister to you there. Have you seen it? Oh, you're not looking. There's a word there. Okay. I'll find it later. I want to show it to you. It's like, verse 44. Thank you. Yeah, that's it. That's it. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not what? Minister to you. So, you see, sometimes even your children will eat out of it. Sister Ibuku is here. I know her husband. I know her father-in-law. Her father-in-law told me that while he was in university, he was using a car because his father was into orphanages. He said he had almost all he needed when he was in school. So my father was running an orphanage. Praise God. That's why I don't like all this. When you're doing your bad day, you go to one orphanage. Don't go there. Go nowadays. Imagine that. They only eat on your body. So they have to stay starved 364 years, 4 days of the month, and 365 days of your day. Hallelujah. So think about what you can do in that area. It will go a long way. Then, the third one, which is also very important. First Timothy 6. Verse 17. Give us on the screen quickly. Our time is running, so I want to go for another meeting. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us what? Now, something I will tell you now may be wild, but it's true. Determined to enjoy life. You hear me? You hear what I just said? Determined to enjoy life. One of the greatest life frustrations is money. Money can frustrate you. So don't depend on it. Determined to enjoy your life. Are you hearing me? When you are broke, be happy. When you are blessed, be happy. Determined to enjoy your life. Are you hearing me? He said, command those who are not to trust in what? In money, but in the living God who gives us richly. Determine that God's going to bless you, God's going to enrich you, you have to have that kind of thing that God wants you to enjoy life. I don't mean drinking half a life five times daily. No, I don't mean that. I mean, the word joy is not word enjoy. Am I right? You should be happy. Look here. Nobody wants to buy from somebody who is miserable. Are you hearing me? You know, don't go into this, just enjoy life. Just live life, enjoy life. See those usually who do well in life and they are gregarious and they are happy kind of a thing. They seem to do better in life. You know, that's why I don't like church where they just do like this. And everybody just go kind of a thing. Give me a break. See children. They love to move around. Children love life. They don't think so much. And Christ said, be like children. Enjoy life. Enjoy life. Glory to God. Okay, I don't have fuel. Enjoy the walking. Praise the Lord. For instance now, people say, oh, people are getting old. Everybody's leaving home. I'm enjoying being alone. Hello, enjoy it. It's your stage. Enjoy it. And one thing I did throughout COVID, I enjoyed myself. I was telling myself, welcome to my world. Hallelujah. If you don't have, you only have garri and coconut, enjoy it. Huh? Just enjoy life. Oh, that's so important. Oh, that's so important. Don't let money drive you. Oh, come, oh no. Just wake up. Money will come following you if you do that. Trust in the living God, which gives us all things to enjoy. Now, family are always looking for money. I'm desperate and desperate and desperate and desperate. They are not happy even when they get the money. Have you seen people? Do you know that I met two people now. I met one person. It's something years old. He was so miserable with money. I said, Lord, I will never be like this man. I mean, the old man was saying, and he said to me, say, hey, do you know what? He had a phone. He didn't know how to transfer money. The Lord, you know, he just got 3 million. You go to his parlor. His parlor, the chairs were there in the 70s. Somebody was there. Said, he brought me up to drink water. I refused to touch the cup. The cup is middle ages. See, enjoy life. You know, living life well. Today, if the world ends, what record will you give? Struggling. So just cool. Huh? Now, we are messing up my house and we are doing some renovation. And I was forced into a corner and I'm enjoying the corner. I'm just enjoying the corner. I was, first of all, getting miserable. I told myself I have 3 weeks limit. So let me enjoy it. Huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, I do sometimes funny things. I tell my wife travel. I say, Rakwake, come and pick me. He said, Reverend, with your car, with my car. That car is not. I say, let me enjoy it. I won't do anything. There's no AC. Just let's enjoy it. You know, cool. Come on. You know, when you come, you need AC. Get fresh air. Once you have Solomon, roll down. Let's have some fresh air. Come on, back. Side. Are you hearing me? Just enjoy life. Do you know that Bill Gates' daughter went to Rwanda and carried pot on her head? She was so happy carrying pot because in the U.S. they don't carry pot like that. She went to with her mother to go. If you have time to go for holiday, where will you go? I know where you'll go. You go to White House, right? I mean, Bill Gates' richest man came to Rwanda and was carrying pot water and the daughter was putting water and dancing. See all these people that go abroad. When the children come to Africa, the children like Africa because that place, man, you're all boxed in. Some boys came recently for one wedding with their parents. The boys never seen goat before. They only see the meat cut, brought to the house. They never see chicken flying around. You know what they did? They were following chicken. Goat, come. They were trying to say, let's go. Tell yourself, I will enjoy life. I will rejoice in my life. Whatever stage you are right now, rejoice in it. That's why James said, count it all joy. Well, you won't fall to various trials. Praise the Lord. I come to church just laughing and enjoying myself. I've faced trials, all kinds of trials in a long time. You know. Pastor, how could you have gone through your daughter having problems and you struggling? I said, I just enjoy my life and I'm going to keep on increasing. You know why? Prodigal son, when he left home, when he came back, the father was bigger than when he left. Are you hearing me? Whether Tinubu or Atiku or Ubi, I don't care. I'm going to enjoy my life. Let's lift our hands and thank God for the joy of living. Say, Lord, thank you because you are going to furnish me everything richly to enjoy. I want you to say to yourself, God, you are going to furnish me everything richly to enjoy. Thank you. I trust in you, the living God. I don't trust in the power of money. I don't trust in uncertain riches. My account is not my joy. My resources are not my joy. My revenues are not my joy. Lord, I have joy. Thank you for giving me all things richly to enjoy. Physical, material, social, family, relatives, people. Thank you for joy. Thank you for living life to the full. Hallelujah. Praise God. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Hallelujah. So, these three foundations must be your triangle you are living in. No matter what, sometimes you don't get anything at work, just go home, play music. At least it's on your phone. And just dance. Just rejoice. Hallelujah. What will it be like after you are beaten, thrown to the jail, and then you tell somebody, sing? What will he say? Are you crazy? but they sang their way into deliverance. So just enjoy life. Just enjoy life. Hallelujah. You survived COVID, didn't you? And nothing was working that time. How much more some things are working now? We're going to make it. Is that all right? Is that all right? I won't let anybody take away my joy. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's why I ask you to do joy. Because when you do joy, you have strength to move. Strength to see the answer. Praise God. Is that all right? Enjoy the stage where you are. You are single, enjoy it. You're married, enjoy it. You are separated, enjoy it. Don't let be miserable. Don't be miserable in your class. Don't be thinking blah, 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 blah. We are thinking that somebody, their business is very big. They have houses, so their trouble is big too. Are you hearing me? All right. Are you blessed today? Fine. So that must be your, if that's all you do today, I don't mind. Those three, live in that triangle. What's the first one? Creation mandate. Second one, help the poor brother. Help somebody. And then third one, enjoy life. God gives us all things richly to enjoy. Enjoy life. How much money do you need to enjoy life? How much money do you need to enjoy life? Sometimes the more money we have, the more sophisticated things we get. Professor Ade, when they have so much money, they do bury behind their house and buy a titles and they will eat. And then When she was pregnant, she had enough iron in her body. After they now got richer, they are spending money on all this medemede. Then she got pregnant again, and there was not enough iron. They had to buy iron tablets. Huh? Studios. I said, huh? She sometimes just basic life, breathing. He's much more interested than just kind of good oxygen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's talk about two things about divine intervention, then I shut up. We go home. So we can leave here. It's been a wonderful rainy day. Enjoy the rain too. Have you been there before? You have an appointment with somebody, and then you are going there. And then the person just said, canceled. What are you going to do? You can be miserable forever and be screaming. One day I had this experience in Lagos. I won't forget it. I was going to an embassy, and then we were an older boy. It was bad. And I was thinking, when are we going to go? And I look across. I told you before now, and I saw this man inside this jeep. He's at the back, open all his Bibles. The driver was driving. We just reading. He said, we just look at him. I said, only me. It's not even a pastor. It's just cool. Some of you don't have any music in your house. You're miserable. You don't play anything. Oh, you play, I know you play someone. Oluwa, see where come here, Oluwa. That's frustration. I mean, the joy of the Lord. Is that all right? Let's talk about divine intervention quickly. Let me talk about two or three, then we stop. The first one. You are going to have people either cheating you or holding things back from you. You need to have divine intervention. You know, sometimes people just, like now, somebody who you know will pay, or some things that you just need to get, you're just getting frustrated. Let's look at Genesis 14. Let's look at one divine intervention here, quickly. We'll just look at two today. Our time is, you know, because of the different weather. Let's look at Genesis 14. Can we read from verse 1? Sorry, Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. Let's keep reading. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Let's keep reading. And he went on his journey from the south, next verse, to the place, next verse. Lot also went with Abraham, had flocks, who went with herds and tents. Let's keep reading. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great. And they could not dwell together. I want you to look at this area. This is a place of competition. How do you have God intervening? As a pastor, you see, we Yorubas usually don't like competition. Igbos thrive in it. Igbos can have shop and shop and shop and shop next to each other. And they can buy things from it. But Yorubas, they don't like it. how can you go and open next to me? This is my diocese. Hello? I want you to allow God to intervene in that area of competition. Some of you are feeling overwhelmed. People can do better than me. They are doing better businesses. They have big money. They have, like Bratito one time, one man just came to town with some instruments or some machines and opened this place that he was saying there was no machine. What was your response that time? You remember? I just didn't do well. Is she serious? The man is folded up today. I think he's folded up. Or he's still there somewhere there. You're not even sure where he is. So competition, sometimes you think, oh, how can I start this little thing over here? Will I ever do well? Will anybody patronize me? That's what happened over there. Don't capitalize on what you see around you. It's like wedding. Say botimo. You know, you always find a wedding that's beyond your own wedding. Are you hearing me? So that competition took place. And then the land began to get bigger. No, get smaller. And they were getting bigger. What are we going to do? Let's skip it to the next verse quickly. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites present then dwelt in the land. So the trouble started occurring. You start, you know, you can't want blah, 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 blah. You know what kind of thing like that? It double crossed me. No, no. You know, there was one church like that. Someone was telling me there were 3 churches in one building. That happens a lot in the East and Lagos. So this one will stand, people will send people downstairs and say, they went for the first time, come to our church. They go and grab them there. So one of my friends went to the church on the 3rd level. And when he was climbing up, he got to the 2nd level. And he bumped in to greet them. And he was told that the church at 3rd level and 2nd level, they never talked. They never enter into each other's place. Are you hearing me? My friend is a radical. He said, Pastor, follow me. Let's go downstairs. You have to be a little bit elegant in this area if you want divine intervention. Oh, I found somebody better than you. I'm taking my clothes there. God bless you. Oh, I can kind of thing. I know it's hot in your emotion. That's normal. Somebody's in town now. Is a better pastor than the better emotion. What are we going to see? My wife, one time I told my pastor, I want to be announcing 3 months that if you find a better pastor, you can go. My wife said, don't do that. Because I'm for your good. Look at next verse. Take a look. I love this one. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me. And between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For we are what? We're brethren. See, they are not your enemies. Those who are competing, those who are sowing, those who are, they're not your enemies. The next church is not my enemy. Look at what it says next. And I love this. This is where I'm going now. It's not the whole land before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, then I'll go to the left. See, there's enough land. Please believe that. Remember our mandate that we have before? That are going to prosper. That's not anybody involved. That's me and the Lord. I'm all right. I'm giving to the poor, settling, helping them, stored. I'm also what? To enjoy my life. He said, go to. And guess what happened next? Look at it. Guess what happened next? Next verse. Look at what happened next. And Lord lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So go to. So the guy picked the best place, picked the best customers. Next verse. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. It's the plain of Jordan. People will take some better times. How do you take care of that? Look at next verse. I want to close on that. Divine intervention. Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of plain. Next verse. Let's jump. Next verse. And the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had what? Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Next verse. As for all the land which you see, I give to God. God said to him, You know, somebody said that he wished he had gotten an airplane or helicopter. Get off the ground. The sky has no limits. And your father is in heaven. Are you hearing me? Begin to see yourself that if you hear people are going somewhere, don't let it bother you. There's enough space for you in the sky. Crossing. Look northward. Look eastward. Look westward. As far as you can see, I give you. I want you to just close your eyes and tell yourself, God, you have given me room in this land. You have brought me here because you have abundance and you have enough, more than enough for me. Lord, I refuse to let any competitor, any person intimidate me out of what I have. No allergy, no allergy, no big man, no big woman will render me irrelevant because my relevance is with you. I look forward, I look back, I look sideways because there is enough place for me to increase. I choose to live beyond competition. I choose to get greater and get bigger. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Look at the screen. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your seed forever. Come on. Your seed of labor. Your seed of business. So look beyond. Don't be. You see, I got people coming from Idiori to church. I got a family coming from that roundabout on the way that Aito Randa. Sometimes I pity them. I want to. God will do things for us. Your customers will come from anywhere. God has people. Just you see, if you just do these three things and you are doing that, God will wake up somebody to do something to get through to do you. But if you don't do that, God doesn't have that kind of right. And please don't be fighting on the ground with somebody. God will take you to a higher level in Jesus' name. So number one, see divine intervention. The only thing I'm asking you to do is that, number one, see that you are supposed to prosper and reproduce there and give your best to whatever you are doing. Huh? Can you imagine that whoever is doing business with you is because he's poor and you are not supplying the need that he has need of that moment? That's true. So if somebody comes to you now, that big man want to do that marble work, he's poor at it. You are the one that's rich. You're helping good at all. So that's first one. I want to see that competition or no competition. I know that I love Alaji selling iron rods. They got money, boku. Bank will give them without thinking. But I will still yet prosper. For as far as I can see, God will lift me. Is that all right? I will find my own niche. I will do my own part. Same thing happened to Isaac. When he began to cover his well, he moved to the next level. The cover is well, moved down there again next. The cover is well. Why? Because there's still somewhere there. And he got to Rehoboth and he said, the Lord has made room for us in this land. We shall be fruitful in this land. Is that all right? Is that all right? Have that. It will come to you. It will come to you. As long as you are doing your mandate. Let's look at the second one and I close. Let's look at challenge in the area of product, client, customers. How do you get God to intervene there? I'll give you two stories. And this may sound really way out, but I want to help you as I close. When things are tougher, when things are either client or product or services you are producing, I want to give you two witnesses to this. Work hard at it, even when you are failing. Peter fished twice in the Bible, Luke 5 and John 21. The Bible said they caught nothing, but they worked hard all night. Are you hearing me? Don't ever call something a failure until you have applied all effort. Are you hearing me? If you're going to see divine intervening, you can't just be jumping around and see divine intervention. You're going to commit. Remember her testimony when she was selling something And they said, fuel price has gone up, and who will buy? But then she just jumped up and said, she's going to do it. She thinks she failed, but God came in. Am I right? So please, you know, God is not going to intervene until you have worked out. The two occasions, Jesus, Peter fished all night, he caught nothing. Jesus came second day and he said, throw your net into the, after I finished talking. And a second, when he fished, after Jesus was from the dead, when he fished all night, he caught nothing. But in the morning, they got fish when Jesus came. Why did Jesus come in the night? Why didn't he come before they started work? He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing what I just said? People think that the Lord just intervened. He doesn't intervene first. He doesn't intervene first. I planted Apollo's water. Then God doesn't come first. Is that clear? Some of you are getting healed right now. If you have to prove that you are a failure there before God will come. You work hard. They work hard. We work all night. We caught no fish. Then you are worthy of divine intervention. But if you just do 1-2 hours and say, Lord, what's a better idea? Talk about plant, talk water. Allah will give increase now. Praise God. Praise God. Somebody laughed. I said, Saturday night, I eat a bar. Because I got 3 services to go through. I go, pa, 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 fix that, fix this, go down there, go, come down. I say, how do you do it? Go to work hard. Do you know why? I'm 60 now. I'm in the PM of my life. I better work harder so I can get more in heaven. Have you ever seen them play football? First half, you dribble. Second half, you have to score. I can't waste time now. So please, work hard. God won't intervene if you don't work hard. And when you work hard and work hard and work out and work hard, you're not seeing anything, open your mouth and say, Lord, Kuyo, please do. But don't ever open your mouth until you have worked hard at it. And as you're working hard, please don't give up. Do you know how many people have left church? In our church last year, this year? They're still living. They're still living. One just came to me and said, they're still living. But you know what? I'm working hard. I'm getting on the video, do whatever I can, everywhere, getting things done. You just have to work hard. My friends, one pastor was standing over there. He said, I don't understand. People you have invested in, they're going abroad. I said, they're not your own. Huh? Secondly, before they came to church, they had a life. They are not born in church. Are you hearing me? Somebody was asking me yesterday about it. Anyway. He said, hey, you mean you'll be here? I said, they'll be here 1 week after their wedding. He said, you mean, I said, people are not in church. Say they are the care people. They are the one. See, you just work hard. Just work at it. And God can see that. A laborer is worthy of his wages. Christ said, I must work the works of him that sent me. The day I saw Christ at work, I was shocked. Jesus was working. There was no holiday. Sabbath day, normal day, he was working. Healing, preaching. But he works out. They had no time to eat. So please, apply yourself. And then when it's not working, you can see God. It's not working. Jesus will now come. Now listen to this. When things are becoming difficult, you can't find an answer. Take off. Take off time. Balance. Get your Bible. Get into prayer and ask God what to do. Is that okay? That's the best time God will speak to you. After you have worked hard, you don't see anything. You take your Bible and say, Father, on the two occasions, Peter, first one, he took his Bible, went to Jesus' meeting. Jesus thought. When they finished, he said, take your net again, go down. You have to renew your strength sometimes. As you renew yourself, you have a new vigor, you have a new charisma. They call it Yoruba, Awuri. Your own divine Awuri surrounds you. You go back there. Is that all right? Or second, he just talk to you. You just hear, someone can just come and tell you, okay, Ezekiel, say bye. You just turn out right. This is the voice. So, don't forget, I've talked about two, competition. Number two, working at a venture. God wants to intervene there. Work hard at it. Look at it. What else can I do? What can we do over there? So that when you hang your net, God knows you have worked hard. Is that all right? And it's a rewarder of them that diligently. That's the key word there. Is that all right? So let's work hard. Let's move at it. Let's get up. Create it. See what you can do. Work at it. Work at it. Work at it. Work at it. Wake up every day. One brother came to me years ago. That's before COVID. Say, Reverend, I don't know how you do this. You come every week. Tuesday, you say, we continue next week. I said, how do you get what to say? You know, I was getting glad that you will not come this morning. So I could do some more work, do some reading. I was transferring. So that's why I came a little bit late. I got books. The books I've got in the last 5-6 months that I had to study, there are more than the books I've gotten before. Are you hearing me? Got a lot of things to do. Got some other projects, I can't tell you. What kinds of things I have to do? Well, you work hard. You work hard at life. And God will intervene for you. Today's word, they will say 5 days you shall walk. God says, see this, that I walk. This is what I just said. They will say 5 days you shall walk, Monday to Friday. Now, it's even 3 days in a week. My daughter, they will still call you, Amara. They will still call you because that's essential. So they say 3 days in a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or Tuesday, Thursday, or no. Right? But let's walk. Sometimes you may walk in such a way that you may not get anything there, like I'm doing now. We are not getting anything from this. I'm not getting any money from this. We are even still spending church money to put some of these things off. But you know what? That's a rewarder. Sometimes you can work on a patient doctor or work on a client sometimes and they may not do what they're supposed to do well for you. And you get a little bit hot and disappointed, but God will reward you. Transfer to God's account. Say, God, I did what I used to do about this and I didn't get this. Leave it to you. You will see what you can do. Are you hearing me? But please, don't suspend working hard. Is that all right? Is that all right? I've told men before, push on Malanke if you have to. Do anything. Don't hold back. Hallelujah. God blesses people that work hard with fantastic results at the end of the day. Do we get that? By the end of Peter's second venture, he got 153 fishes. And beside that, the Lord prepared food for them. Remember? There's no food for lazy men. When he said, anything to eat, say, come and prepare food to the fish and they can eat and they enjoy that seaside that day. All right? Are you blessed today? I got 7 to share with you, but I only give 2. Our time is gone, so I have to go somewhere else. So those are the ones you can have. I wish I could share with you. People are not paying you very well. How God will intervene. There was a man in the Bible that the man that was paying him changes his salary 10 times, changes his wages 10 times. Then God intervened with a dream. You see, sometimes some people are working with, they don't get, God just show you, do this over there, do that over there, do that over there. Bam, money will come in that will compensate for all those things you've been doing. Yes, Pastor 2. You have a question? Thank you.
You're sharing 2 out of 7. Can we say financial breakthrough next? 2. 2.
So we agree on that? All right, so we work on that. Look at all that stuff. God will intervene. I planted, Apollos watered. God will give the increase. All right, any question, anything, comment you want to ask and be on my way. So coming, beautiful. The number one real estate agent in town.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. Yes, sir, my question is around your last point now.
Interesting.
Yes, because I've had some experiences and you know about one. I had another one recently. Some of my clients, after I've been able to help them sell their properties, they don't want to pay the agreed commission, even though we didn't sign anything.
Yeah.
There was one I was sharing with Brotito. I stepped out for prayer of agreement because of that property.
Yeah.
And God helped me to sell it. And along the line, the guy was saying, what did I do? Can you what did I do? Oh, me that I came out.
Sorry, you're not, you're not here at the beginning.
I was listening.
Oh, you're listening. Thank
yes,
you. They don't really properly value what you do. Yeah,
yes, I had it. So how do I deal with them? Because some of them are big people. And I can't fight them.
Even if you sue them, they are bigger lawyers than you do. There's a young man who has left our country today that is in UK, in the US, who was into high class, I think at first class, one of the best results, even in Africa. And he started the This machine, ATM machine work, repairs for the banks. It's now in the U.S. Why? The banks won't pay him. It's a culture of mistrust in Africa. People don't pay you. They think you're not doing anything. That's why you need divine intervention. You're not doing anything. Let me tell you two things, how it will happen. Number one, God will use them to train you to get better in your dealings and handling how to get yourself paid. Some people have been trained to now know what to do in dealing with collecting your money. But you have to learn that. Ratito, want to say something about that? Yes. Okay, I see. So that's number one thing we do first of all. It will teach you how to do that. Because you have to learn that style in your business.
Yes, sir. This is a cross that I believe everybody who is starting business has to carry, especially when you are just starting off.
Here in this environment.
Yes, especially with regards to what you said now. You know, God training you. Because I remember those days, the same thing happened to me. And I never thought I could have so much solution as I have today. I you know, there's a kind of respect that will come on you as your business gets bigger. Yeah. That even if they want to do that, they would have to think twice. Yeah. Because they know you have the stamina and structure to prosecute and do a lot of things to them. So there will be less of that. But in the beginning, people have a way of looking at you as somebody struggling and just coming up that they can just, you know. But one of the things that can reduce the timeline of between when you grow bigger and all that is to get former, try to do some documentation with your work in the way by which you just try give, by the time they are agreeing with you, they sign some documents and you let them know you are a company, you are not an individual, you are a company, and try to look at yourself and envision a kind of organizational structure of which you are still dreaming of, but may not actually be present now. So that will make you to be able to, secretary, you know, all that kind of structure is what really works. So by the time you give them something, okay, I will give it to my secretary, or it may be your wife, don't worry. It doesn't matter. So just sign, and then, okay, my secretary has signed. Okay, so he will be thinking of a bigger structure. So likely, they will think twice. They will start to think twice. But by the time you reintroduce
yourself. That's my experience.
Yes. So by the time you introduce yourself, my name is Sukomi. Okay. Pepe Mitowa Lorien. You see, one thing that even puts you at a disadvantage is that everybody, including myself, is tempted to cheat you in this business of yours because I just put down a lot of money. And what is left is like I'm struggling with it. So you're now asking for 5% or 10%. However, I'll be godly man to give you just like that. So there's a temptation that, why not 2%? Why not 1%? Why 5%? You know? So, and people do that a lot, especially in that world, want to take Kuda. They already have what they are looking for. So please, you can do some paperwork. And
all right.
Thank
you,
sir.
Let's talk about training in that area. You see, there are imported ideas that are not bearable anymore. One of the things people have problem with today is to really properly estimate value when it comes to the intangibles like what you do. They don't see that the running in between. You see that bonfita you buy, that's not the price from the factory. Things have been added by the value chain to make that happen. People don't see that when it comes to the kind of work you are doing, except you are too big. So I want to start really, like I said at the beginning, knowledge is important. Yeah. What can you do to see that you get your money? What kind of things are you going to put in as checks and balances to help you? You have to get that developed by yourself under God and this kind of discussion. But that will happen to you because you have to be trained to collect your money here. Or else go to US. But to do business there is even tougher. The Western world live on these charges and commissions. That's how they build the economy. It's a service economy, not so much on productions and co. China is doing that. So I'm coming. Somebody's raising their hands over there. Then the second one, please listen. Let me first of all tell you about this environment. The bigger you are in this environment, the more you oppress people. It's our culture here. I know somebody, I won't mention his name, that banks will go and beg him for their money. They will go line up. One time, three MDs of different banks in Nigeria, Ejo, they went to go and meet him. I won't mention the place. He will not pay. But we that are owing 100,000, they start tormenting us. Because they were not big enough. So that is there. They don't want to pay. They are bigger. And they don't think you need money. I'm working against that in my life. I'm working against that. When somebody gives their time, you know, God says something in the Bible, said, when a worker works for you, don't ever delay his money. Because that's his life. That's his living. So come, he's run up and down, do all those things. Now, sometimes this thing about 5%, 10% is not credible sometimes for your environment. So you have to sit down long enough and talk, speak up and say, sir, I know that I'm not trying to say that you are cheating me, but I want to know exactly what is our deal about this land before I proceed. What are you promising me that you're going to give me? Are you hearing me? What's our deal? If I do this for you, what will I? I'm not trying to say that you should pay me first, but we want to have that. That's one. Second, I want you to do this. Please, everybody, listen to what I'm going to say next now. People will falter even when they sign paper, even when they are honest sometimes. That now depends on your faith with God. Imagine, listen to this. You have done the business for this person and you are imagining to get the money to buy this in your life. You plan for that money for this. If it gets terrible and gets worse, don't suspend your life. Trust God for more to get this done. So don't let anybody's misbehavior stop where you are going. You have calculated that half a million will be spent for this and then they didn't pay the money. Don't stop there. For instance, I cannot mandate people to give offering and tithe in church. One pastor said, they are owing us church. I said, they are not owing us. What do you do? You plan and trust that other things will come in to be able to do that. You can pray for compensation from God. Somebody else will come over here and pay you more than even that. Can we start doing that? That my money is coming only from one person. It's coming from many people. Is that all right? Now, those who do well with you, keep doing business with them. Those who are doing like that to you, mark them. Bible says so. When you mark them, when they come for business again, and they will surely come, I can tell you, they forget. I can tell you. You say, no, and then they will cheat you. They will come and say, hello. Like, somebody was telling me, this is a brother. He was telling me, another brother. He said, he did business with me. I struggled for him. He didn't pay me like what you are doing. He didn't pay me. Second time, he did it again. He didn't pay me. Third time, something happened again. He called me, started tossing me as usual. I said, I'm not available. So, carry your keke. Go play somewhere else. People like that reduce business. Or if you have to do business with them, Owo Media, Kato Bere, FMI advance first. Why? Uncle, last time. Oh, mother, I call you. Take a look in the course. So come, I know you can say that. You can say that to them. I trust you. You can say that. I'm not leave now. And then they be convicted. Be straight with them sometimes. Tell them, uncle, it's not fair now. I'm also living. I'm a child of God. I'm trusting God too now. I have to do business. I have to make life is difficult now, but I'm trusting God. And holding back this is not fair. Tell them. They may get mad and get angry, but you're pricking their conscience. Is that all right? That's all right. Do we get that? So that do that. And trust God to get more, whatever. Expand your horizon. Any more before we go? Yes. You want to answer that question more? Yes, thank you. Great. Okay. That's an architect. His own case is worse. It draws things and people think, look, look, draw.
Yeah. To add to is to what Brother Tito said concerning putting structure about whatever you are doing. There is this incoherent structure whereby you act as the third party or the middleman. Before it's a matter of agreement between you guys. Before the money goes to him, the money comes to you first. So within that chain, you after you know the whole documentation, everything. After that, then you can you know remove your own part and send his own balance
that's
to him.
If the problem is here is that people don't like to pay to agent. They may not get the land. I'm coming. See, we live in a atmosphere of mistrust around here. That's our problem. See, that kind of case. I want to buy land now, and I'm the agent. Then I tell the seller, pay to my account. You say, I want to meet the person face to face. Are you hearing me? I want to pay to their own account. Me too. Sorry, I won't pay to agent. I would like to pay to the person I'm dealing with so that because I don't know. You know, we live in a place of mistrust because sometimes the seller, you see, that's the reason why. The seller will come and say, I want to sell this thing for 20 million. The agent will put on it 10 million extra, taking 30 million. And so if I pay 30 million to him, he will take the 20 million, give it to the man, and say, ask for commission, and 10 million is pocket. See, we live in a place of mistrust. That's our problem here. So even if you write anything down, they won't even follow it. These big banks, I was telling you, I mean, banks, big banks, they go to court, and they have lawyers that will take the case for the next 15 years. Who? What cruel are you? So that's the thing about that. It's good if it's something smaller, and they can pay to you first and kind of a thing, that's fine. But in this environment, particularly when it comes to land and big money, people are very careful with money. Are you hearing me? So please, that is good. Use it. But for this big money, people don't want to pay to anybody and think, Agbomilo. See, that's why things are not working here. Trust. If you tell the guy, supply that for me, Mutibo, Esanwu, you'll not see him again. And I was talking about Pastor Dekulo yesterday. So go and supply cement, bring it down. He said the vehicle broke down the road. Okay, they break down. Baulomadi, custom Timuwa. They just want to. I've never told this before. They wanted to buy a generator. They brought the guy to me. He paid some money in. There was no generator. So come, you were around that time, you didn't know. He started toasting us. It was two sauce. I didn't say it in church. It was a big guy supplying some other people. So I told one of my friends, one of the high commissioner, one of the deputy commissioner for police in Lagos, he said, Reverend, that's what they do. They have their evil insiders in the police. The guy's dead today. He's dead. But we just rally around, then we got that biggest gen. And we just thank God that we didn't spend all the money. Just gave him some. I just bring some money. Send me some pictures. Yeah. That happens. But still, you breathe. So you can see that kind of thing. So I mean, here you are. And the bigger and the more powerful they are, the more they oppress. I wish you would read all those minor prophets in clear Bible from around Malachi, Zephaniah. You never understood their cry. People are oppressing the poor. They will take their land. They will take their wives. They will take their children. They turn them to servants. That's what they are fighting. But we don't see it. First, see someone, I can show you now. Even God's people in Jerusalem. He said, woe upon you that wakole male, warile male, warale male, amarala, amarala, amarala. It's the man of this Zephaniah that you just take over and then you take it from everybody. That's it. There's one big man in this country. He went to one bank, collect money to use collateral for the building. The same, went to another bank, the same building. So when he didn't pay, both of them started fighting over the property. And nobody can stop him. He's a billionaire. Then, sorry, those days when you're in the bank, he said, you go and meet them. Banks, you go and meet them. One of the staff in Lagos, when they want to go, they just put a dog in the compound. She took off like a spare. What are you going to do? And the dog bites you. Bank will not even treat you. All right, great. So that's where we are living. That's what's happening around here. Any more before we go? yesterday quickly. All right. Can you get a microphone? Oh, bring, we are not eating bread today. We are eating donuts. So, auntie, can we get a donut, auntie? Yes.
Yeah. Another thing I want to contribute to that.
Great.
Is when people are owing you.
Thank like you. That. Yeah, today I want to hear your experience. You deal with a lot of big guys that do marble works.
Yes, sir.
Extensive thing. Yes. How do you handle that?
When people owe you like that, don't just shut the door and cancel the relationship like that.
Beautiful.
Something happened recently. We did a particular work for a particular church, and we got very little money out of it. The person that represented the church
can be a bad business partner. Oh, Lord, thank you.
So the person that represented the church told us that Tunde Emma worry, we'll get you another job and all that. So I was so angry and all that. But I just sat back and prayed. I said, God, reward me out of this that wow. I've done. And another church now called. They saw what we did. No, they didn't see what we do.
Okay.
They called and they said they wanted to do that kind of thing. We just did for this church 2 weeks ago, and they asked us how much. Now, you know, we are more experienced in charging with what we did the last time. So we now gave them our bill. He said, it's too much. Said, go and see what we did with so-so and so. And when they got there, they paid us. I just imagine that I've shut the door with the first contract we got. If I'd scattered it, if I'd said no, forget about it and all that. When they now contacted that church, they said they're the one they did it for us. They didn't ask them the price that we did. And eventually, we got better deal out of it.
Fantastic. I want to hear that experience. But today, come. What do you do with all these big guys? All these big boys that work with you, all these people that they just want to do something for church, build church. What do you do with them with not paying you sometimes?
You just said it. We do the paperwork, we do the documentation, and sometimes they won't just pick your calls. They won't bother to just respond. We just trust God, and we keep calling. One happened recently, an ambassador, a big man in town here, we call him, we tell you that I want to go and see Alake. When I'm through, I'll call you. And he won't call. And when you call 10 times, he won't reply. But I keep calling. That was on Thursday. And I called somebody closer to him that, Efun Aluwa now. He said, I'm sure Delat America. I said, I have children to pay school fees. My school fees is coming. And he said, don't worry. My bed bounce or. And I started calling. I said, is he around? He said, he's around. He just left me. I just started calling. He picked my
call. I'm going to wear you out.
He said, Tunde, bro, me. Don't worry. I will send your check by weekend and all that. I haven't seen the check. By Monday, I'll start calling.
Oh, yeah, we are. He was one of these big guys. It's amazing. These big guys. I said, Lord, I won't be like this in my life. That's why I don't associate with them. It was amazing. All America, and likely they go on first class ticket, about 5 or 10 million. Uluwa, rescue us. Yeah, bring the microphone for you. Thank you. But I got to go. I'm not meeting by 11.
Thank you, sir. I have this issue at hand.
Okay.
I got a job to mass produce something for an organization. No,
okay.
Government. Okay. But not government, really. Office. Particular. And we told them, this is the color. We agreed on colors and combination. And we could not find one color of a fabric. So it was, we went back to them to tell them, okay, this is what we could get and the likes. And the topmost person said, oh, I even prefer this texture and the likes. So, and all of a sudden, we wanted to go and take that. And he said we should hold on that so that it won't be as if it's loading things on his people.
Okay.
And that took time. And almost every other day, I will check. Please, help us with something so that they can bring in these materials. And just to cut the long story short, the price went up.
Okay.
So, and I feel even this job, it's not as if we are having too much profit on it, but we just want to use it to penetrate because we could see other jobs coming from there,
okay,
and the likes, and the price got increased, And later, I was asked to inform them that you delayed because we even told you. In fact, eventually when we were now asked to go ahead with the new one that they picked, it was not even the Oga that got back to us. It was someone too in the office that got angry that, and deal with people in June now. And okay. The likes. So it was obvious to even them and even colleagues in the office that they were the ones that delayed, that made the price of the fabric to get increased.
But they are still asking to do that.
But the man got angry. And now I've gotten fabrics. And I just saw he sent message to someone, the person forwarded this message to me that tell them to hold on not to even cut the whatever at all and that they should return money. The initial deposit. And out of the initial deposit that was supposed to be given to us, they cut it. And people in the office said it was not the money. Let's say they're supposed to disburse 240 and they disburse 140. The person there said, we agreed disbursing 240. I said, if they have even disbursed that one, we'll have gotten fabric. So the matter is complicated now.
Stop the work now.
They said we should stop.
I return the deposit.
That we should return the deposit. The
that was given to you.
Yes, sir. The people in the office are saying no.
Hold on.
But the man is saying
if you are to return the money, all the things you have bought out of the money, remove the money from that deposit. And the materials you have bought, carry them plus the deposit. Tokunle, balance only. I want to warn you about something. Please, yes, you are looking for business, but don't be suffocated. Don't be suffocated. Don't let anybody, because you are looking for business. Are you hearing me? Don't, because you are looking for cement business, become a truck. Are you hearing me? So, some things, just you know, but don't let them choke you. Where you start losing money, profit to come to business, not losses. So, in that kind of case, can I warn everybody here? When you are working with government, be ready for anything. Are you hearing me? Please, when you are working for government, be ready for anything. Develop the stamina to work for government. Because offices, politics, and everything is in there. Are you hearing me? Can you see that, my sister? Can you see that? Can you see that play in the office? Oga, can you come, fighting over. Sometimes the Oga is not the Oga. There's another Oga underneath somewhere else. So, I want to plead with everyone. If you are working with the government, sustain serious endurance. And number one, don't lose money. Number two, don't lose money. Number three, don't lose money. When you're dealing with government. Government. Daniel called them beasts. He called government beasts. I mean, no get brain. It's amazing. It's always been like that. All right, great. Let's go home. All right, thank you very much. Nobody else again? Thank you so much. All right, Bratito, microphone. Yes, microphone. All right, thank you. All right, so can I drop off? Permission to drop off. Pratito, you can finish up. Okay, you see, you're not in the business.
Just
okay, great.
Want to, you know, sometimes when God is helping us, we think he's not coming forth the way we expect. All this issue about big people, government and all that. You know, if we are not careful, sometimes we ourselves have some kind of idols in our heart that God wants to break. And if we don't allow him to break it, it leads us to some trouble, especially with these big people. I remember years ago when God was dealing with me in this area, I honestly thought God was not doing me well. God was being wicked. Because I desired big jobs from big people. And I thought that was where the answer was. And I thought I was due for that time. But unfortunately, because I knew that my product was good, and was at least I was working on it, and the comments I was getting was showing that they were of something beyond average. So I was expecting to be a supplier to big schools and all these first class schools, you know, in Lagos. I actually went after them. But I wasn't getting response from them. And federal government, you know, I traveled as far as Idoani, Ondo State for jobs with federal government. And those days, I was getting blocked here and there by God. And I felt it was unfair. I will find this school from Ilaro, it's from interiors, Ayetoro. I can't remember the name, but they are villages. They will come and do big jobs, and I will look at them like this. Where are you coming from? And God had to correct me that, look, that is where your money is. And I, at the time, I got the message. Because you don't know how much God loves us and our businesses. Because all these things, left for me, I would have turned it to a trash and pushed it off. But God still guided me to make sure that I didn't do that. So, but when I saw that these people were forthcoming and were more reliable, I began to focus on them. I began to see that our strength is not who we work for, but who appreciates our product. You get the difference? Product. And I leveraged on that to now serve those people well and give them all the accolades they needed to be proud of us. And to my surprise, some of those small schools there became big. And till tomorrow, the way they carry our product is so much that they both rub on themselves. Some of them, they were looking local, then became very big and massive. So the way God works is funny. He demands that we humble ourselves when we are beginning. And he has a way of exalting us. And not to pry an eye, start eyeing the big and the highs. And at the end of the day, these people, they will use us and dump us. This is just my experience, honestly. And honestly, if you come and ask me, Brozito, you are doing big your job for big people. I say, we work for everybody. In fact, new schools, you are welcome. In fact, new schools, we are working for more for new schools. Brand new schools. In fact, some people never have a building. They don't have anything yet. They just come. We want to do sports. We say, come on. You are welcome on board. We will work for you. Keep them. And some of them will do the best because they want to start on a high ground. I mean, high level. They have spirit of excellence. So please, let's not allow, this thing must be clearly defined when we are stepping out. We have to clearly define it and make sure that we don't mix them together or else they will limit us. So this is my own experience. I believe some other people have, you know, different experiences as regards to this. But me, I know they look for Olowo Kankan, whoever appreciates my product. Even sometimes I will come to their level, really cut my profit, cut, so that they can do it. Because I don't know how God can use them in the future. We still have big schools, I mean big clients also. And if one thing is, like Reverend talk about government, I run away from government. Me, I run. When I hear God, they will say, bring your quotation. I say, no, I will send somebody. Never. I do it. God, the moment. Because why do I do that? There was a time. I can't remember the number of quotations they collected. No job. Nothing. They just collect. Somebody later told me, said, they will collect and go and do it somewhere else. So, at the time, I made up my mind. I'm not giving any quotation. I'm not. Come and bring your quotation. Pal, will you see that you are very... Bring your quotation. I say, I'm coming. And the few ones who wanted to do, they will come without any quotation. They will come to our office and do whatever they want to do. So please, let us be careful. Let us appreciate the little ourselves and attend to them well as if they are princes. And by before we know it, God will use them to connect real princes who will appreciate your product. All right. So, any other comment or questions? Let's round up. Yeah, I only know how to round up because I know we want to go back to our businesses. Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, we give you praise. We bless you for the time we have spent. Thank you. We appreciate you. We know that you have helped us a great deal, providing knowledge. Your truth is our shield and buckler. So you have provided us with knowledge of the truth that we can go to our businesses and do well. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We bless you. We appreciate you, Lord, this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Let's share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now.